7627. Before I get back to the phone lines and move on with conversation, let me remind you that Clemson basketball coach Brad Brownell will join us at 4:45 today. Let me tell you about the Elkmont Trading Company. You know, everyone knows Elkmont as this beautiful rustic lodge that is the place to go for all of your outdoors needs. So if you're an outdoorsman, outdoors woman, you have to get to Elkmont for that. I mean, it's everything from hardcore to casual, kayaks, canoes, tents, anything you need for the great outdoors, Elkmont has. Of course, all of your major clothing brands and shoes and everything. But Elkmont's more than that. And on Monday night, they have pint and barbecue night. $9.95 for a barbecue plate and a pint of your choice. Look, this barbecue is not dried out or overcooked. It's real pit-cooked barbecue, slow-roasted the old-fashioned way, using real hickory wood briquettes. None of that liquid smoke stuff or any of that stuff. Elkmont sauce is a blend of Carolina vinegar and traditional tomato recipe that provides a subtle sweet heat to the sandwich. And not much sauce is needed because when you pit cook pork right over hickory without overcooking it, that smoky flavor is sealed in. The meat's moist, tender, and delicious. The barbecue sandwich is then topped with melted homemade pimento cheese and served on a toasted King's Hawaiian sweet bun and served with a side of homemade red potato salad, which is just unbelievable. Listen, that's just Monday. Tuesdays are date night, buy one dinner, get your second half off. Wednesdays are Wine Wednesday, half price bottles of wine, 6 to 8 p.m. 16 locally brewed craft beers on tap. And for you people who are looking for a lunch place, by all means, go to Elkmont. You go down on Clemson Boulevard, you're waiting in line, and by the time you're through with lunch, you're miserable. Go and have a nice, quiet lunch in which you don't have to wait in lines at Elkmont Trading Company, and you'll thank me later. The food's incredible, and people just need to know that they serve lunch. So by all means, go and check my friends at Elkmont out. You know, it's an interesting conversation in terms of where football's future is headed and what can be done to head off all the negativity about the game. And I'm just not sure. I think long-term, the game is headed for immense problems. Now, I don't know exactly what long-term means, but I think in 20 years, if this game is still as it is, I'll be surprised. And in 50 years, which I may not see, I would be shocked if the game exists in its present form. Shocked. I just think that we are headed at warp speed, barring some unforeseen circumstance, to either such dramatic change in the game that it will no longer look the same, or perhaps towards the extinction of the game, which would be terrible for all of us who love it so. So, you know, this rule, again, in its genesis, I think is designed to try and head off, to be proactive against future legal issues. We'll see. There are other elements that the National Football League discussed at their owners' meetings, other rules that have been enacted, some that were tabled. One of the things that was discussed was the potential looming legalization of sports gambling.
What?
Oh, yeah.
That shocks me.
Well, they have no choice. It's out of their hands. It's going to be heard before the Supreme Court. The state of New Jersey wants sports gambling. This would potentially open the door to many other states being able to legalize sports gambling. And it appears that we're headed in that direction. It appears that I'm not sure that there's anything that can prevent it. It's very difficult to get the Supreme Court to hear a case. Very difficult. Well, the Supreme Court, it's on the docket. I don't know exactly when, but it's coming up. It may even come up this month. I forget what that time frame was for that proceeding. And I think that nothing's been made official as yet. But if football betting were legalized, you know, the NFL has this sort of dirty little secret in that they want to shy away, badmouth any affiliation with sports gambling. They don't want sports gambling as a part of their game. It's a little disingenuous when you move a team to Las Vegas. A little disingenuous because, historically speaking, the NFL wanted no part of Las Vegas. But in New World Order now, we're celebrating the fact that we're moving a team to Las Vegas. So, again, a little bit disingenuous on their part. But the thing is, even as the NFL has always tried to steer clear of any gambling affiliation, association, representation, at the same time, they're not stupid. Two of the biggest reasons for the NFL's popularity, gambling and fantasy football, which is a different type of gambling. Those are two reasons that provide a lot of support structure for the National Football League. Gambling on their events and fantasy football are elements that are so indelibly intertwined with everything they do that you would think in some ways they would almost welcome it. Of course, they don't because they don't want to open the public perception possibility that their game could be tainted. That the competition isn't legitimate. So they try and stay clear of it. You know, the funny thing is, whenever there's any illegality in terms of events, sporting events being thrown by players, individuals, whatever, it is almost always Las Vegas who is the one who sniffs it out. They are the policemen of this issue. They are the overseer. It is almost always, any time that you learn of somebody getting busted, some college player getting busted, some bookie getting busted who tried to influence the outcome of games, it is almost always Vegas who winds up sniffing those people out because it impacts them. Tiger fan Becca. Becca.
Hello, how are you doing?
Becca, good. Appreciate you getting back in with us.
I know, it's been so long.
Yes.
But I wanted to get in on all this, the helmet and the hitting and all these new regulations that they're coming up with. And we understand that, you know, creating a helmet that's going to not cause the damage is going to be very, very difficult, if not impossible. But my whole thing is, like, yes, when their kids and their parents had them in these sports is one thing, but once they become old enough to start making these decisions on themselves, then it's a personal decision and it's a risk. I mean, it's just like getting in a vehicle and driving to work every single day. I mean, more people die in car accidents, but, you know, they come up with ways to try to make cars safer, but they still happen. People still die in cars every single day. Are you just going to tell people not to drive cars? I mean, you have to, like, once people become of age and start making this decision and this is the life they want to lead, they know the risk. They know that they're there. Then, okay, there's car insurance, there's health insurance, there's all these things. You know, you have to find other ways, but you can't just say, well, we're going to completely take the game away or make the game where it's not the game anymore, because that, like, it's the same thing to me. And my son plays football, so you know I understand the risk of him playing football when he plays football, but it's something he enjoys doing. And I know that he could get in a car this afternoon and die instantly as well. So, you know, that's a risk I take every day too.
Yeah, look, I've long discussed this notion of acceptable risk, and I've discussed it in terms of other occupations. I mean, all occupations carry risk. All occupations. I mean, there is some element of risk in almost every occupation. And you know, if you're a policeman or a firefighter or an electrician or a lumberjack or a coal mine worker, you know, on and on and on, your level of risk is significantly higher than anything any football player is ever going to face. I mean, significantly higher. But you do it because you have to. You know, again, no one is making these players play the game. You can, if you don't want to seek the prestige and the money, then go do something else. You know, you're not, no one's making you play football. So, you know, I think there's that element of it. And I would like to see the National Football League take that approach in trying to insulate themselves and protect themselves from further legal issues. But I'm sure that their legal team is much more educated onto the into the depth of that issue than I am.
Certainly understandable, but I just think that you have to look at all realms of it to where you don't take the game away because, you know, there are, you know, you have fans, but you also have, you know, players who love the game.
That's
what they want to do.
Well, let me ask you this then, Rebecca. So you don't have any concerns regarding your son playing football?
Of course I have concerns and I know the risk, but I also know that if it's something that he's passionate about doing, I mean, he also said if he doesn't make it in the NFL, he wants to go into the military. You know, he wants to, so that's a risk too. I mean, how many soldiers do we lose every single year?
Right.
So either way, anything that he does, there's going to be a risk, but it's doing something that you love and you're passionate about. Why would you want to take that away from someone? Why would you want to take that person's passion and what they love to do away from them just because of legalities? Yep. And I know that's kind of harsh, but, you know, that's life, you know?
Thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate the call as always. You know, look, here's the thing. Regarding, and again, you know, I'm not going to give a science or physiological lesson here because I don't know it well enough to do it. But the premise of a concussion is that the brain is suspended in a gelatinous liquid, for lack of a better way to put it. And what happens in a concussion is the brain gets bounced around the skull. That's what happens. And I'm not certain that any helmet will ever be able to prevent that from happening. It's, and this is why there is an effort to change the type of collisions. If you can eliminate the helmet-to-helmet collision, then you can impact the number of concussions and serious brain issues. And to an extent, I understand elements of that. But that's the nature of the challenge. And I don't think there's an easy remedy. Look, we have the greatest technology on earth, and yet we have not yet developed a football helmet which can insulate the human brain from concussion. And it is because of the nature of that collision. It's because the brain floats, essentially. And any time that it bounces around the skull, it gets damaged. And so, you know, that's the challenge. And if you just think about the nature of collisions that lead to the brain bouncing around the skull, it seems unlikely that any helmet will ever solve that issue. That seems the gist of it to me. All right, we'll take a quick break. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage. We'll be right back.
B4 Outdoors is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that provides veterans, wounded war heroes, at-risk youth, and the disadvantaged and disabled with life-changing outdoor experiences through hunting and fishing. Their first annual turkey hunting tournament fundraiser is set for April 7th. Great prizes and the awards banquet barbecue dinner are included. For information on tournament registration, sponsorships, or donations, or just to find out more about B4 Outdoors, log on to b4outdoors.com. Letter B, number 4, outdoors.com.
Need to travel? Edwards Auto Sales in Walhalla has the area's best prices on new Ford trucks, cars, and SUVs. In business for over 50 years, shop Edwards Auto Sales for all your automotive needs.
Quag here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley has been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
Bring all your lawn's potential to life. We designed the Cub Cadet XT Enduro Series lawn tractors with you in mind to deliver strength, comfort, and superior versatility. Because we know you put in the hours of work that make all that play possible. And now, you can bring your lawn to life for a little less because your local independent dealer is offering $100 off select XT Enduro Series lawn tractors for a limited time. Visit CubCadetDealers.com and take advantage of this exceptional offer. Not eligible on other models. Specifications and programs are subject to change without notice.
You're scared. You cannot pay your credit cards. You cannot pay your medical bills. Someone suggests to you debt consolidation, combining them all in one payment. Can you really afford that? Is there something else you can do? Call me and see if bankruptcy can help you. Call me, Robert King. Together, we will look for a thoughtful solution to your legal problem.
Thompson & King, 300 South Tower Street in Anderson. Call 222-0200 or online at thompsonking.com. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under the Bankruptcy Code.
If you're super passionate about buying or selling a house and need a get-back coach like Coach Venables, then call me, Jana Candler, with the Totes team at Berkshire Hathaway Seat & Joiner, 313-6990. Go Tigers!
Kraft Stove Store and Patio.
Is Ralph there?
What's he look like?
He's got white hair and spots.
Is Ralph your dog?
He's a Dalmatian.
Why would he be here at Kraft Stove Store and Patio?
You always say you have something for everyone.
And we do, with the best selection of patio furniture and grills around. We can make your outdoor living better, but maybe you should look out in your backyard for Ralph.
I'll just call his cell phone.
Since 1978, we've got something for everyone. Kraft Stove Store and Patio on Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Your home is your largest investment. Its value is enhanced by the way it looks on the outside, as well as what's on the inside. That goes for your yard as well. An investment in Husqvarna equipment from Easley Lawn and Garden is an investment in your home. From robotic mowers to tractors and zero turns, as well as trimmers, blowers, chainsaws, and hedge trimmers, Husqvarna and Easley Lawn and Garden are trusted experts. Husqvarna offers many options for you as a homeowner or as a commercial landscape professional. Find Husqvarna equipment locally at Easley Lawn and Garden. They have the knowledge, the expertise, the parts, and repairs you can depend on. Husqvarna has been around for many years, just like Easley Lawn and Garden. Invest in them like you would your home. Your local Husqvarna dealer for nearly 40 years. Veteran and family owned and operated. 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley. Online, easleylawn.com.
What if there was a paint that made you look at paint differently? One that completely rewrote paint's genetic code so it can strengthen any color. What if it's built with better ingredients? Even given superpowers? Since Benjamin Moore reinvented the way paint is made, it makes you wonder, is it still paint? Benjamin Moore, paint like no other.
The
Carter Color Company, 1067 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson, your independent local Benjamin Moore paint retailer.
Homeowners and landscapers choose EnviroMulch, a locally owned, environmentally friendly company. They supply quality organic mulches, soil, sand, and stone for every landscaping application, delivery, or pickup. Nobody beats their prices. EnviroMulchOnline.com.
Road Rage with Walt Zepsula.
Report back to me when, when it makes sense.
On 105.5 The Roar.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Adam Schefter. See, here's the problem with giving a little. When you give a little, they always want to take more. That's why you can't surrender on any issue that you believe in. You can't back down. You can't back off even a little bit. You can't surrender on any issue, because as soon as you start giving in, then they want more. The paint hasn't dried on this new rule change, and now we have this. Adam Schefter, NFL Competition Committee recommends eliminating kickoffs if injury rates do not drop. So now we're going to eliminate kickoffs altogether. The kickoff is one of the most exciting plays in football. And we've basically almost eliminated it as is. Now we're going to eliminate it altogether. Well, that's the approach of the new Alliance League. So I don't know if that's the National Football League trying to follow that approach or not. But we're moving toward that. Texas says, Walt, so we're saying rugby players don't get concussions. Well, I mean, look, rugby's a violent game, and it's not played with pads. But what we're saying is the rules in rugby regarding tackling are the ideal. Rugby has been seen as representing the ideal methodology by which to tackle in football. And it's been copied by many different people in the game of football in that regard. And hence leading to this, what's called the Seattle system. And many others have employed it also. So, texter 376 says, so the onside kick would be gone. Well, there's another interesting element. If you take away the onside kick, you basically ruin late game theatrics. Now, the Alliance League has their own formula for handling that. If you choose to go for an onside kick, you get a 4th and 10 from your own 30, I think it is. That's their formula for replacing an onside kick. But again, that's just an arbitrary new age decision that isn't tied at all to the history of the game that the National Football League plays. This says by Kevin Seifert, injury rates on NFL kickoffs remain so high that the league's competition committee will give a mandate, make the play safer, or it will recommend its elimination in the near future. How do you plan on making it safer now? You've already taken steps to make kickoffs safer regarding wedges, etc. At this week's owners' meeting, the league's medical department presented statistics showing that concussions are 5 times likely to happen on kickoffs as on an average play, according to Green Bay Packers president Mark Murphy, who's a member of the competition committee. That rate has remained steady even after a rule change made permanent at this meeting to bring touchbacks back to the 25-yard line. We've reduced the number of returns, Murphy told a small group of reporters, but we haven't really done anything to make the play safer. As a result, the league will bring together head coaches and special teams coordinators in the next few weeks, Murphy said. There's no indication the kickoff would be eliminated for 2018, but it's clear that its future's in doubt, barring a significant turnaround. The message for the group, Murphy said, would be if you don't make changes to make it safer, we're going to do away with it. It's that serious. It's by far the most dangerous play in the game. What exactly will be the plan to make it safer? Will everybody run in slow motion? I don't understand. What exactly will be the remedy? I must be missing something. There have already been adjustments to how wedges work. How will you change the fundamental nature of a kickoff to make it more safe? I don't get it. You're going to have somebody count three Mississippi before they move? I guess we're saying, because I don't see any methodology by which you're going to drastically change the safety element of a kick return. So what they're saying is it's gone. Texter says must speed walk on returns. Right. So what they're saying is it's gone. There won't be any more kick returns in football. Now, I don't know when it's going to actually take effect, but the National Football League is about to eliminate kick returns. Now, again, it may not be this upcoming season. It may be the season after. But, they're looking for a miracle. They're saying, we're going to meet and come up with some ways to make kick returns safer. What way? What way? You've got elite athletes running down the field at full speed towards each other that results ultimately in a collision with a kick returner. What will be the methodology? I can't even come up with anything. What will be the plan to make kick returns safer than they are? I don't see any workable solution there. So that means that the next thing the National Football League is about to do is eliminate kick returns. Oh, by the way, there were a couple other things that they instituted. Overtime turnovers. Previously, if an opponent connected on a field goal, you have an opportunity to match. If the team that is then playing defense intercepts a pass or recovers a fumble, a live active fumble, in the past, the game was over. But the NFL apparently concerned with the possibility of an extreme loophole decided to change that policy. So now the game does not end on the interception or on the recovery of the fumble if it's a live ball. The play won't end and the game won't end until a tackle is made, allowing for the possibility that that the return team could score or that the return team could fumble and that the other team could pick up the fumble and score. So basically, nothing ends now until somebody is tackled, is what it comes down to. Oh, by the way, we haven't really talked much about the catch rule as yet. And the catch rule has been, they've gone back and examined every element of the catch rule, and they have instituted some rather draconian changes in the way catches are legislated. basically now if you make a football move or if you reach with the ball, if you take three steps, that was a Jim Harbaugh initiative. Although there's, I've heard debate even after the decision is made about this three-step situation. But fundamentally, what they want to do is they want to turn all of those non-catches that we saw last year into catches. And so the Dez Bryant situation would now be a catch. And that's what they want to do. Now, of course, the ramification for it is that you're likely to create more fumbles. Some of these plays that weren't catches under the new rule would have become fumbles. So we'll see how that's regulated. There are still some gray areas. Sideline catches are a little bit gray in terms of what comprises. Obviously, it's 2 feet down or a body part, but what comprises possession there and what comprises a football move there? There are still some gray areas that to be concerned about. Texter says, incrementalism at its finest. Next, it will be no running plays. See, this is the danger. LOL Jesse on the text line. Two-hand touch only on kickoffs. Texter says, move kickoff back to the 40 so every kickoff's a touchback. Well, then why do it? We've already done that. Why do it? I guess the only rationale for doing that, it would be that you would then keep the possibility of the onside kick alive. I guess. I mean, I can't see what the ultimate rationale for doing any more than that would be. Look, they have a dilemma. And I'm not sure that this kickoff information is going to be warmly received. I mean, they've already enacted change in the way kickoffs are handled. So I'm not sure going further down that road is to their advantage, but that's where they're headed. Make no mistake about it. We'll take a quick break. We should have Clemson coach Brad Brownell on the other side. Walt Tiptula Road Rage. We'll be right back.
Buying a new or pre-owned vehicle can be overwhelming. Thankfully, Hendrick Honda Easley offers a world-class experience in a fair, fast, easy, and transparent environment. As the only Hendrick dealer in the upstate, we take pride in being connected to the local community in which we live and do business. Hendrick Honda Easley is there to help you find the newer pre-owned vehicle just right for you. Online at HendrickHondaSC.com or at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway in Easley. Again, that's Hendrick Honda Easley.
Anytime is a great time to buy jewelry from Reed's Jewelers in Haywood Mall. Whether it's a diamond for her, a watch for him, or maybe something special for an upcoming graduate, no matter the occasion, Reed's will dazzle you. Endorsed by Roar listeners like Zeke.
I'm calling in for one of your sponsors, man. Wally over there, Reed's Jewelers. Go check him out. They'll get you what you need. If not, he'll find it, and he will definitely take care of you.
Zeke loves Reed's Jewelers. You will as well. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk. Online at Reed's.com.
Hey there, Easter Bunny here. You know, Easter is all about hiding things, like Easter eggs and the wrappers from all the chocolate you ate. But here's something for Easter you won't want to hide. An Easter Bunny celebration from Edible Arrangements. Delicious fresh fruit surrounded by chocolate-dipped pineapple bunnies and daisies. Plus Easter berries, fresh strawberries covered in gourmet chocolate and topped with a yellow, blue, or pink swizzle. Easter made sweeter at Edible Arrangements. Order at edible.com or hop on over to your local Edible Arrangements store today. Hop on over.
Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. Head into Firestone Complete Auto Care through April 2nd and get $60 on a Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of 4 eligible Firestone tires. Because with the right set of tires, you don't have to buy a new car to make yours run like new.
Claim form required. For eligible tires and complete details, visit driveafirestone.com. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
voted the upstate's best place for piercing, Purple Haze, with locations in Clemson and Anderson. It's where I went to get my nose pierced, and so can you. After all, you're a leader, not a follower. So take advantage of the jewelry, posters, glassware, and more. Like the huge drop on a lot of their select inventory right now. Do like I did and get your nose pierced at Purple Haze. Truly unique and waiting for you. Purple Haze, with locations in Clemson and Anderson.
Qualk here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley's been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
Everybody knows the story. You can't sleep on a bed that's too hard. You can't sleep on a bed that's too soft. But you can sleep on a bed that's just right. Engineered sleep might not have been around when Goldilocks was written, but they know that a bed that's just right is made just for you. It's not just a fairy tale. They actually build a mattress based on your sleep habits and patterns so that you can get that Goldilocks kind of sleep. And if after a couple of weeks you find it's not perfect, Engineered Sleep will adjust it until it is. Visit their location at 627 Congaree Road to see the process and learn how your mattress is made. By manufacturing your custom-made mattress at their factory, you're saving money because there's no middleman. Factory to you. And you can score a significant discount by picking your mattress up instead of having it delivered. Engineered Sleep, it's not mattress shopping, it's an experience.
Hey there, Easter Bunny here. You know, Easter is all about hiding things, like Easter eggs and the wrappers from all the chocolate you ate. But here's something for Easter you won't want to hide. An Easter Bunny celebration from Edible Arrangements. Delicious fresh fruit surrounded by chocolate-dipped pineapple bunnies and daisies. Plus Easter berries, fresh strawberries covered in gourmet chocolate and topped with a yellow, blue, or pink swizzle. Easter made sweeter at Edible Arrangements. Order at edible.com or hop on over to your local Edible Arrangements store today. Hop on over.
With Walt Zepsula.
You gotta calm down. You're getting a little emotional.
On 105.5 The Roar.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We are back. Lots to get to. How are we standing there, Ramona? Okay. I know a number of people are on hold. I don't have access to that screen at the moment, but I think Coach Brownell is with us. So hang on in there and we'll get to you in a little bit. Ramona, if you don't mind, give me Coach Brownell. Coach, how are you?
Doing great, Walt. Thanks, buddy. Hope you are.
I am. First of all, congratulations on an absolutely amazing season. An incredible season, sort of a magic carpet ride, a storybook. And from a Clemson standpoint, historically speaking, one of the best seasons in Clemson basketball history. So congratulations to you and your team. It's just...
Yeah, I appreciate that, Walt. It was certainly a lot of fun, and man, these guys really gave us everything they had. They just extremely coachable group, tight-knit group, played very well together, and really, we just Came up a little short there. Didn't play our best against Kansas. Some of that certainly was Kansas. Those guys were really good. But, man, what a really good season. Tie for third in the ACC and 11 wins. And then to, you know, play pretty well in the ACC tournament, win a game. And then to go to to San Diego and win two and play like we did against New Mexico State and Auburn. I thought our guys just played unbelievable. Fought hard against Kansas. We just didn't quite have our A game, and they're very talented.
You know, I think I heard you address this in the aftermath of it. Looking back on it, do you think there was a little bit of element of stage fright early in that game?
Yeah, probably a little. I really didn't think we would have it, but there probably was a little bit in hindsight looking back on it. You know, I just thought there were a couple of turnovers that were uncharacteristic. Maybe just a half step slow defensively early. You know, it's crazy, but and it wasn't a good thing. Magic Johnson sat in the first row right behind our bench, and it was like, oh my stars. Like, you know, even I'm looking at Magic Johnson. Like, I mean, Magic Johnson was one of my idols growing up.
There you go.
I mean, that was one of my guys that I loved. And, it was just one of those deals. It took us a while, took some guys a while to get going. We didn't have enough guys play well. Obviously, Gabe was terrific. But for whatever reason, it took Shelton and Marquise a while. They just didn't kind of get going. And I will tell you this, Kansas, you know, that was a harder matchup for us just based on their perimeter speed, and their 3-point shooting ability combined with a monster under the basket who just, yeah. You know, Udoka was really, really good. I mean, he was, you know, he's bigger than almost anybody we've played against. And then so it was a problem.
Yeah.
Part of it was Kansas. Yeah. They were just very good. Malik Newman's just playing at an incredibly high level.
He is. Azubuike is just a monster. And you just didn't see anybody like that. You know, we talked about how you play every style and in the ACC, but you didn't see anybody like that.
Yeah, he was really, really big. I mean, and physical, and just like you can't move him.
Yeah.
And so when he gets his position, and because there's 4 3-point shooting, you know, the crazy thing is that, like, LeGerald Vick was like, you know, we're always looking for, all right, who's the weakest shooter on the perimeter? And what can we do to use that against them? And they don't have any. I mean, LeGerald Vick made 57 threes, and it's like, maybe you can help a little, but, like, he's too good, really. And obviously he goes 3 for 6 against you from three, and it's like when those things start happening, it's just, it's hard.
Well,
and,
hey, listen.
Big kid was 7 for 9.
And Duke in the Duke zone found that out too. You know, I mean, and
yeah.
You know, in watching your game with Kansas, you know, the other thing is they seem like they do such a good job with court spacing, 15, 17 feet, that they're just hard to guard. I don't care how you're trying to guard them because they all can shoot
the
ball.
They are. And it's all because, well, they can all shoot and, you know, really, they can all put it on the bounce,
one
or two bounces, and create their own. Even Svee, the big white kid, can really get in the lane and shoot over top of you. So they've got all 4 guys or can dribble it enough. You know, Newman is big and strong and physical, so you get up underneath him and he just gets in the lane and plays through you. And, you know, he's making so many tough shots right now. He makes tough shots, and it's you know, we just didn't play well enough offensively. We had the bad turnovers in the first half. We kind of got that figured out in the second half. But I told our staff that we were going to have to score, you know, mid-70s at the most, you know, at the least probably to win. Like, we might be able to hold them to 70, but I don't – this isn't a team we're going to be able to hold at 58 or 61 or 63. Like, we're going to have to score 74, 75 points to win the game. And we just couldn't play well enough offensively.
But, you know, you showed a lot of grit and toughness, something you've preached all year, and got yourself back in it. And, look, when Azubuike went out with, like, I think it was like 2.5 minutes left and you're down 6, I was thinking that, man, you still have a real chance. And there were a couple plays there. There was the Gabe DeVoe tie-up that was a foul call in the back row, which was clean.
Yeah.
And then I think – And I don't remember the exact amount of time left, but I believe it was a six-point lead, and Mitchell had a decent look at a three that if that ball had gone, it would have been three, and then I think it would have been on.
Yep, it would have been on. No, you're absolutely right. And those were two big plays, and then the other one, the third one late, was the we had him at 1 second, ball goes out of bounds, and we get him to take a wild shot.
Yeah.
Keith didn't block out the inbounder, and it was a long rebound, and Graham got it. That was kind of a backbreak. Those were the three plays where you're right. If any of those go our way, it might get to the last 30 seconds with it being a one-possession game. We had a chance to steal it. The guys did a good job. We made plays late, got loose, made some shots. Gabe kept going. But we needed one of those three plays to kind of go our way to get it to the last 30 seconds.
And Gabe was unbelievable. I mean, he clearly did not want his career to end there and gave everything he had on both sides.
Yeah, he played. You know, it's funny. I brought him in when Dante got hurt, and I told him, "You're going to get three or four more shots a game now. That you know, we're going to run a few more things that you know are spread out for everybody else, and you know, you got to attack this." And obviously, he's you know a senior, and he's ready for that moment. And I thought he was going to have a really big season. You know, and it was just, I'm just so happy for him to play the way that he played, especially in the NCAA tournament. He had three unbelievable games, and that was our best chance. When he was knocking them down and really giving people problems, it created openings for other guys, and it just stretched them. And, you know, he played at a phenomenal level. He really helped himself in the last 6 weeks of the season.
Well, you know, in a way, he's the kind of guy you have to have in this program, not just the shooting element, but, you know, he's a guy who played 4 years, who made himself a better player a couple years ago, sort of redefined his body. Last year, I thought he played hard, but he didn't shoot the ball especially well. And this year, as a senior, it all sort of came together for him, and a lot of it post-Grantham injury.
Yeah, no question. He just... you know, confidence is such a big thing in sports, and you know, it's one of those situations where you know he kind of grew up being the guy, and so to just kind of have that moniker again when he became a you know the last 12-15 games of the year, that really probably freed him up a little bit to just kind of go shoot and just go play. You know, like you said, you're proud of him because he did work his sophomore year. He really kind of changed his body. Junior year, he worked hard to continue to get better and just add more elements to his game. Was still a little bit inconsistent, you know, and because we had so many other guys, it was hard for him to always be a, you know, a 25-minute guy. But then this senior year, it all came together for him. He had a great summer, really, you know, shot the ball well in the fall. And I think we all thought he was going to have a good year, but the way he played the last 6 weeks, I mean, he probably averaged 17, 18 points a game in the league in the tournament the last 6 weeks of the season.
Marquise Reed didn't shoot the ball as well down the stretch as he had for most of the year, and I think that may have played a part in this as well. But did he just – was it the end of a long season? Was it did Virginia put him into a slump? He didn't seem to just,
I think it's a combination. Yeah. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think the longer the season went, the more he separated himself as a finisher, a closer, a guy who was a big time scorer. So he moved from being one of the guys on the scouting report or top of the scouting report to the guy on the scouting report when Dante got hurt. And now they start putting bigger guys on him. That affected him a little bit. You know, a couple games, he just had a couple tough shooting nights, and then I do think he pressed a little bit occasionally. But part of it is just being guarded like the guy.
Yeah.
And when, you know, teams are really trying to stop you and put their best guy on you and do everything you can, and obviously that's why you have to have multiple players at this level. You have to have three or four guys because – you're going to have a couple guys play well, and you're probably going to have a couple guys not play as well. And you just have to have – you can't win when only one does against good teams. And that's kind of what happened to us in the Kansas game is we really only had one of our main guys have a – and he obviously had an unbelievable game, but we just needed either Shelton or Marquise or Eli. One of those other guys had to have a good game, and they really kind of didn't have a great offensive game, and so it was hard for us. But you know, I think he got he was defended, you know, as the top guy on our team for the last month of the season really hard.
Speaking of having more than multiple guys coaching, we'll talk about next season later, but just this one question about that. Are you going to have three guys that we just saw next season?
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful, obviously. We're kind of in the process now, yeah. this week and next week of kind of sitting down with everybody and, you know, discussing, you know, end of year meetings. How do we think we did? What do we got to improve? What do we do well? What's your summer look like? What's your thoughts for next year? All those things. And obviously, you know, Elijah and Marquise and Shelton are three guys that, you know, are going to have some interest from the next level and, you know, how much and all that. We're still kind of, it all kind of weeds itself out now a little bit. And, you know, it's a little bit like even Dante last year with us. You know, Dante kind of had a tough junior year and didn't play real well at times. But because of his body type and size, he's always has some marketability for the highest level and development. And so he went and had an unbelievable spring and worked out for some NBA teams. I think it was five NBA teams. And it was really good for him. And, you know, we want to sit down with these guys and see what it is they want to do. And, you know, we certainly want to support them in everything they do in their future. And we're kind of going to have those talks here over the next, you know, we've started them and finish it up here soon and kind of make some decisions and then go from there.
Now, you know, Coach, based on all this success and assuming that the trio returns, there would be some real high expectations next year. That's where you've created for yourself now, you know. And I haven't helped you because I already picked you to finish second.
Well, I know you didn't pick us 13th last year. You were one of the few that picked us to be a tournament team and thought we could be good this year. I knew that for sure. We talked about that last spring at this time. And you were more than right. So I'd love for you to be right again. That sounds like a pretty good season.
The Duke and Carolina people don't like that.
Certainly. I know they don't, but that's okay. There's going to be a lot of talented teams in our league. I think there'll be a lot of guys coming back. There'll be great depth. Obviously the normal blue bloods that have the big time recruiting classes will still have those same guys coming in. But I think there's going to be a lot of returners to our league this year and next year. And I think it's going to be unbelievably competitive. And you're going to have guys like Boston College that if they get everybody back who kind of been, you know, a little bit behind everybody here the last couple of years that could surprise people. They just, you know, they're going to be talented. So there's going to be a lot of groups like that in the league. But we'll be excited about our team, that's for sure. I feel like we're making progress in every area, whether it's, you know, obviously facilities and performance of our players, development, obviously recruiting. And so I just feel like we're in a good spot, and you have to be because this league is unforgiving. I mean, the 10th place team in our league made it to the Sweet 16. The 8th or 9th place team in our league played in the Elite 8. Like, it's a tough battle every night.
Yeah, I think it was pretty clear throughout this tournament that the ACC and the Big 12 were the two best leagues, and both those leagues obviously had a lot of depth and a lot of talent. You know, I know you're a basketball guy through and through, and that you don't just coach your team. You also watch the tournaments and the games whenever you have opportunity. You know, when you look at Virginia and what happened to Virginia, and obviously it's a historical upset, and they lost a key player, but nonetheless, no one expected Virginia to lose to get blown out by Maryland Baltimore County. From a Virginia perspective, on the surface, you would think that Tony Bennett sort of needs to go back and maybe examine what's going on with his team in the tournament, try and form some sort of connection. And yet, on the other hand, we sort of watch Loyola, who's almost a small school version of Virginia, who's having the success that Virginia...
Another hour of great sports talk from the Priority One Security Studios. We are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville, 105.5, The Roar.
There's no better bacon, egg, and cheese than Bojangles Bacon, Egg, and Cheese Biscuit. Fluffy folded egg, crispy bacon, and American cheese served on a hot made-from-scratch biscuit. Try one for just $1.99 for a limited time. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Granger Nissan of Anderson, a proud sponsor of the Clemson Tigers, would like to say thank you to all their customers and invite all fans to shop with them. Granger Nissan of Anderson has the winning combination of huge selection, super low prices, and paying more for your trade. Plus, Granger Nissan of Anderson beats the competition by giving you a lifetime powertrain warranty on all new Nissans. Located on Clemson Boulevard and always open at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
For over two decades, Line-X has been unmatched in truck bedliner protection and is committed to providing what you need to customize your truck. Truck gear by Line-X accessories and vehicle sprays combine rugged durability and armor-like protection. Lifts, tires, and wheels bring it all together to truly personalize your pickup to fit your lifestyle. Don't just protect it, Line-X it. Stop by Line-X today and see what's possible.
This is David Chupp. Come see me or my son Trevor at Line-X of Anderson today.
You know, before Boost, our phone bill was obscene. I had to hide it from the kids. So, we switched to Boost and got lines for the whole family with unlimited gigs for a much more family-friendly price. It's nice to have a phone bill that doesn't require parental controls.
Your family deserves better than scary phone bills. Get four lines for only $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Plus, get up to four free Samsung J7 perks with 6 months of Hulu where you can stream all the shows everyone is talking about. All on the super reliable and super fast nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Offer ends 4/16/18. First line's $100 a month. Lines 2 to 4 free. Requires one line to port in. Includes unlimited talk, text, and data with video streams at up to 480p. Music at up to 500 kilobits per second. Gaming up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization during congestion. Free phones require port-in purchase of eligible device and activation on plans $50 or higher. Includes 6 months of access to one Hulu limited commercials plan per eligible line for new Hulu subscribers only. Additional restrictions apply. Terms at www.boostmobile.com/Hulu-terms. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
Dr. Frank Armacito with the Surgery Center at Pelham on what it means to you as a patient.
I helped develop our outpatient joint replacement program. Our patients are a priority, and it's my goal as an orthopedic surgeon to offer treatment options. Qualified candidates go home the same day. You will be up and walking before we send you home.
The Surgery Center at Pelham, ideal for athletes and active people who want to get back to their old routines. NewKneeReplacement.com.
I'm a donut nut. I'm a donut.